Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome all of you on this special Sunday as we get to celebrate baptism together with the family and little Jackson on this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. This is also Reformation Sunday, by the way. And we are so glad that you're with us here, especially all of the family and loved ones and friends of Amy and Colin today, and coming out to support them. And so we are glad that you're with us here today. And we want to open our hearts and receive of the Lord as he blesses us with his grace and presence in our midst today. And a little bit later on, as I often say, what we're going to be talking about a little bit in the message, what characteristics do we see in people who render faithful service in Christ's church? So let's begin by standing together and joining and singing our Gloria Patria. Glory be to the Father and to the Son. Well, let's join together for our call to worship in the bulletin. Even when it seems we have suffered,
God reigns through in your mercy and love for us.
Things may not be easy, but we can count on God.
God walks with us during times of light and darkness.
God, come quickly and relieve our fears and doubts. Well, let's join together there. You can turn in your hymn books if you like, 335, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. Our God, our help in ages past this morning. Together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. O God, you are gracious and loving, holy and eternal. Your love is steadfast. Your presence is ever near. We offer you our prayers and praise this day in humble expectation. Surprise us in this time of worship and refresh our readiness to serve you. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, Well, this morning I have the privilege to be able to act as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of a family. It's one of my favorite things to be able to do and celebrate with families, maybe outside of a wedding, is baptism. And so let me begin. Members and friends in Christ, we gather now to celebrate the gift of grace and the sacrament of baptism. The scripture tells us there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and creator of us all. The sacrament of baptism is an outward visible sign of God. It is as much a promise of the gospel, not only to us, but also to our children. Baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is a mark of their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of growth in their faith and discipleship. So I'm going to invite the family and godparents and all of those that I told Amy they could bring up whoever they want to this morning. So if they want to begin to make their way up, that would be wonderful. Aren't you? He's been smiling for me all morning. Well, let's begin here with some questions that I told him I was going to ask them. Do you desire to have your child baptized in the faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, say, we do. Will you encourage this child to renounce the powers of evil and receive the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, will you say, we will with the help of God? Will you teach this child that may lead to his profession of Jesus Christ as Savior? If so, we say, we will with the help of God. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of the Savior, to resist evil, to show love and justice, and witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best are you able before him? If so, say, we will with the help of God. Do you promise according to the grace given you to grow this child in the Christian faith, to help him to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of Christian church so that he may affirm his baptism one day? If so, say, we will with the help of God. Isn't he just as lovely as he is? Oh my gosh. I've never seen a happier boy. Yes. Jesus Christ calls us to make disciples of all nations and to offer them the gift of grace and forgiveness and baptism. Do you, family, godparents, and those that are here today who witness and celebrate this sacrament, promise your love, support, and care to the one about to be baptized, that he may grow in Christ? If so, say, we promise our love, support, and care.
We promise our love, support, and care.
Thank you. By what name shall he be called? Okay. Jackson Thomas Falls, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit. That's why I brought this morning. Lord, I ask your blessing upon Jackson. Thank you for him and his smiling face. I pray your blessing upon him all of these days of his life, that he will grow and follow and serve you and the parents and the godparents and the entire family. Bless and extend your love to them. Amen. Amen. Well, let's congratulate. Yes. Jackson Thomas My gosh, what a... He's something else, I'll tell you. It's funny. And he, you know what? He went right through that, didn't cry, make a peep. Got his pants a little wet, though. What a blessing. Well, I'm going to invite our kids then. Come on up. And I'm going to take this off for kids' time and make it a little easier. Come on. Wow, wasn't that pretty cool? You got to see little Jackson get baptized this morning. Yeah. We're going to go to our time of prayer, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we continue on to prayer time, and we'll give you a moment to share those. So who would like to begin? Yes. Okay, so Bonnie's getting a PET scan, and who?
Tammy, my daughter.
Tammy's getting what?
She goes to court.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, so we want to remember Tammy as with that and praying for God's leading there. Someone else, yes. And what's his first name?
Josh.
Okay, so we want to remember Josh. In fact, if you will get me...
I already did.
I was going to say, I'll put him in with our few others that we pray for every month, our service men and women that are overseas. And yes, our neighbor, I think, was in Iraq for a while doing something like that with the Air Force.
With his drones. I asked him what he was looking for. He says, I can't tell you that.
Yeah, no, no, they can't. I think I saw a couple other hands, yeah.
I've got two. I want to thank everybody for your prayers for Dex. He's doing really, really well after his surgery. And I'd also like to remember the Paleo family with the loss of Ruben.
Yes. Yes, I know. And that just was a... just a shock, Reuben, yes. So thank you for sharing that. Dex said he's doing real well, recovering well, and we're glad after having that shoulder surgery on there. So somebody else? Anybody else? Got a couple more yet? Go ahead. Okay, definitely want to do that for Chris with this infection. I think I saw another hand. Yeah, Don?
Unspoken,
yeah. We know God knows those needs. Somebody else, yes.
Carolyn Hoover, she fell. She's 92 and fractured ribs.
Oh, okay. Ouch. Carolyn, and yeah, with fallen and cracked her rib and for healing there. I saw a couple others. Go ahead. Okay. So we want to remember that other unspoken and for Betty. Continue to pray for comfort and grace there. Yeah, Dex.
A friend of mine, Dean Rao, he had neck surgery yesterday. He has not had use of his right arm or hand for the last 3 to 4 months. Hoping that this neck surgery will resolve his issue and finally
okay.
Return to work.
So we want to remember Dean then in our prayers this morning. Somebody else? Couples.
Tom Davis' son, he's 67 years old, was killed in a bike accident. So he was from North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, prayers for Tom.
Okay, yep. I want to remember the Davis family with the loss of that loved one there. And I thought I saw another hand. Yeah.
Danny.
Yes. Yeah. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? All right. So we got several there. Well, quite a few. We want to continue praying for Oscar and praying for God's healing touch for him with the leukemia diagnosis there. And then whatever needs that you might want to bring up to the Lord. She's going to play a little bit there, a song. And you can quietly there pray, lift up any of these names that maybe were mentioned to come to your mind, or maybe something that's on your heart that you didn't feel comfortable sharing. You're welcome to talk to God about that. And then I'll come and close us out.
Thank you.
Lord, we're just so thankful that we can come to you in our times of need. We're thankful that you hear us. Jesus taught us that we can come to you at any time, to the Father, and bring our needs and our petitions in his name, and that God would hear us and move and work, maybe not always in the way that we think, but that God will move and work in ways. And we're thankful that we can bring our cares and concerns to you, O God. And Lord, we lift up those that have been mentioned today, so many of them. For Bonnie, as she's going in for tests, we pray for healing and a good report. We pray for Tammy, who's going into court this week, that you will lead and guide and give grace and favor there. We pray for Josh, who's going to Iraq, and our other men and women that are being deployed here recently over into the areas of the Middle East. We pray that you'll watch over them and watch over him, keep them safe. We pray for Dex. God, thank you that he is doing so well. And we continue to pray for strength for his recovery here in the next week or so as he will begin rehab, that you will be with him and give him your grace. We pray for Chris, Lord, with this infection in his leg. God, we ask for your healing touch and your grace to be extended. We pray for Caroline with this fractured rib there, bruised rib. Lord, we pray for healing there. We lift up Betty to you, God, for your peace and your care. And we pray for Dean, Lord, with this neck surgery coming up to be able to give mobility to that hand. We pray for your healing touch and guidance there. We pray for Betty, Lord, the other Betty that was mentioned, God, for your touch and grace and healing there. We lift up Oscar to you, God, Lord, as he's going through some treatments. And with this leukemia, Lord, we just ask for your healing grace to be extended to him at this time. And we're thankful, Lord. Lord, we lift up the Playo family and the Davis family, Lord, with the loss of these loved ones. We just ask that you would extend your grace, your comfort, and your love into their lives as we give you thanks for that today. And Lord, we lift up these unspoken requests, Lord, that's been mentioned, and maybe others that lifted up prayers to you during the song that may be something they couldn't share, but it's weighing on their heart. We ask that you would move and that you would work as we agree with them now, and pray that you would work in the only way that you can, by your grace, by your love, by your faithfulness. And we're thankful that you can make a way where there seems to be no way. And so we look to you, Lord. We pray for this situation going on in Israel and with Hamas and the Palestinian situation, God. We pray for peace, Lord. But we also pray for Israel as they are trying to rescue these kidnapped victims, Lord. And we just pray that somehow through this mess that you can bring life and that there can be rescue and that there can be a way to solve this issue without violence. So we pray in the best way that we know how, although we are not fully aware of everything, God, that you would make a way and that you would work to bring peace and restoration somehow in that situation. And Lord, we just thank you for the goodness, the wonder. Thank you for the farmers that were able to get so much of their crops done. I know, Lord, they have a break right now, but over the next few weeks, they'll be able to get back in the fields and work. Continue to watch over them and keep them safe. We're thankful for all of them. And we're thankful for this time that we can gather to worship you and to hear your word and to go forth with faithfulness and hearts full of love. We pray your blessing upon the rest of this time of our service as we break the bread of your word. May you feed us, Lord, and build faith in our hearts as your people. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with us in prayer. I know our church really believes that prayer can make a difference in people's lives. So, well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving this morning. And as our ushers prepare this morning, thank you for your faithfulness and God bless you as you give today. Would you join with me in our bulletin for our prayer of dedication? Holy God, you are both faithful and generous as you embrace each new generation. Bless our gifts and make them fruitful beyond our imagining. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from our lectionary epistle reading from 1 Thessalonians this morning, and chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. You can follow along on the PowerPoint there this morning if you would like to. As you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, our visit with you wasn't a waste of time. On the contrary, we had the courage through God to speak God's good news, in spite of a lot of opposition. Although we had already suffered and were publicly insulted in Philippi, as you know. Our appeal isn't based on false information, the wrong motives, or deception. Rather, we have been examined and approved by God to be trusted with the good news. And that's exactly how we speak. We aren't trying to please people, but we are trying to please God, who continues to examine our hearts. As you know, we never use flattery. And God is our witness that we didn't have greedy motives. We didn't ask for special treatment from people, not from you or from others, although we could have thrown our weight around as Christ's apostles. Instead, we were gentle with you, like a nursing mother caring for her children. We were glad to share not only God's good news with you, but also our very lives, because we cared for you so much. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, you know, I always like to start with something new or something funny every week. And so a minister was completing a series talking about temperance. With great emphasis, he said, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and pour it into the river. And with even greater emphasis, he said, if I had all the wine in the world, I would take it and pour it into the river. And finally, shaking his fist in the air, he said, and all that whiskey in the world, I'd take it and pour it into the river. When he completed his sermon, he sat down. The song leader stood very cautiously and announced with a smile, almost laughing, for our closing hymn, let us sing, Shall We Gather at the River? I want to talk to you this morning as we are kind of following along a little bit with the lectionary readings in 1 Thessalonians about faithful service this morning. Think with me for a second of someone who has influenced your spiritual journey, your life, your journey in life. Someone who has impacted you. What gifts did they impart to you along the way? You know, when I stop and I think about one of my youth pastors when I was a teenager who really impacted my life and spoke into my life, I think about some of my professors in college who really spoke into my life in various ways in directing and guiding. I remember some of my professors in seminary that had a great impact on my life. And friends and just a variety of people who have influenced me along the way. And each of them, especially a few of my professors, since I went to a Christian university, really spoke into my life in a lot of different ways, helping to finely tune. All I knew when I went off to college is I was called of God to ministry, but I had no idea what I was going to do. At one time, I was going to the mission field. And then God kind of directed me in another way about being a pastor. And those professors and pastors that spoke into my life and gave of themselves into me. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're called, gifted, and encouraged to participate in the church's mission. In our reading today, the Apostle Paul reveals three characteristics of his team, Silas, Timothy, and him, as they rendered faithful service to the church in Thessalonica. And I want to share, now I know this is specific to their lives and what was going on there in that local church, but I think these three characteristics are kind of universal for all of us as followers of Christ. And so let me share those three with you this morning. First of all is courage this morning. Courage, courage. It takes courage or confidence to serve God. That's one of the things I found out right away, because here's the thing about serving God. Usually people in the church, when they start to feel a little bit like God is saying, hey, why don't you work with those children? Or why don't you work in the nursery? Or how about you teach Sunday school? Or be a part of this or that? It takes some courage to step out and do that. And God gave Paul and his team the courage, as we read there in our passage, the courage to speak freely and boldly. Now, not all of us are called to get up in front of people and speak. Some of you, if I asked you to get up here and speak, you would look at me and say, yeah, right, Jason. But there are times when we feel like maybe somebody else in the church may ask us to do something. Or even, you know, and this goes beyond the church. This could be at work too. I'll tell you a story. I've told some of the kids at the high school before. I was in FFA, VOAG. And I remember my sophomore year in high school. This is before I knew I was called to ministry. Mr. Kramer, our ag teacher there at Anna High School, said, Jason, yep, Mr. Kramer, you're going to do public speaking and you're going to get in the contest coming up here in a few weeks. I'm like, what? I was scared. My heart was beating fast the first time I had to do that. Who would have known that I would spend the rest of my life speaking in front of people? Because somebody pushed me out of my comfort zone. And it wasn't easy. I remember, I can see that dark room with those three panelists right in front of my mind right now when I had to speak in front of them in that moment. But here's the thing that happens. When God begins to give us that courage to step out, whether it's a leadership promotion at work or something here in the church or whatever it may be, such courage includes being comfortable in our own skin. You begin after a while to be comfortable, not to like, who cares, you know, but comfortable in that you function in that position, whatever it may be that you stepped out in. And a couple other things I think that goes along with that, that Paul kind of alluded to in there, is you not only become comfortable in your own skin, he talks about how he spoke boldly and God gave him this ease and courage to do it in spite of opposition, but he found himself becoming non-defensive. And sometimes when we're in positions and people challenge us or question what we're doing, it's easy to get defensive, isn't it? At work, in the church, or wherever it may be. And there's an aspect of that that comes along. And then there's this respect and generousness that begins to develop and come out of that. Why is that? That's all of that confidence that God begins to work in our lives when we're serving God in life. And here's the thing that really jumped out at me that I never saw reading this passage many times before is this. Such boldness or confidence or courage enhances our giftedness. God has gifted each of us. And for Paul, in this reading we had this morning, that giftedness came in the form of speaking, preaching, teaching boldly. It's interesting that Paul, out of all other places in the New Testament, he sometimes will take the word for bold or courage and put it in there, and then he'll write another word with it. But in this instance, he uses one word that means to speak boldly or courageously. And as I begin to think about that, I thought, wow, as God gives us courage and boldness, that is what enhances or pushes us forward in our giftedness. And this boldness gave him the freedom to step out and speak for God. So I have a question for you this morning. What are your gifts? Don't be surprised that when you step out and begin to use those, whether it's in your workplace or whether it's here in the church or wherever, and serve, God will give you the nerve to move outside your comfort zone. And you will find that you're serving God in new ways that you've never seen before. Courage. Second thing is the desire to please God or pleasing God. Pleasing God. Now, excuse me. When I began to read this and he talked about we're not pleasing people, we're pleasing God. For some reason, Paul connects this pleasing God with examining ourselves. And then Paul kind of rattles off this stuff about his motives. And he says, we weren't greedy. We weren't trying to manipulate people. We weren't trying to do this. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, here Paul, as he's writing, it's going right through his head what he had experienced and what he experiences every time he tries to please God. And here's what I want you to see. If we're going to please God, we must be willing to examine our attitudes. Here's some things as I thought about it, and these are maybe, you might say these are questions I was asking myself. Do I respond to others in the same way that God has responded to me, with generosity and grace? Do I extend grace, shine a light, or do I cast a shadow when I encounter people? Am I a path or an obstacle to God? Do I acknowledge that I do not have all the answers or the best ideas or may say the wrong thing at times? A few weeks ago, I stuck my mouth in my foot. I'm going to be a little honest here. When I was with the children and I happened to look up and I saw this look on my wife's face and I thought, yep, I shouldn't have said that. And at times, we got to be willing to acknowledge those things because our goal is about pleasing God and being a light. And that's why I think we have to be able to examine ourselves along the way. And then a part of that, if we're going to please God, we must examine our motivations. I'm going to use Paul's words a little bit. Do I flatter people for my own advantage or greed? Do I seek special treatment because of my position? These are the kinds of questions, all of both of those with attitudes and motives, that good, faithful leaders ask themselves. Is it okay to motivate people for wrong reasons? Well, let me just say this. It's okay to motivate people. It's okay to receive thanks or praise for doing a good job, but don't let it go to our heads. Something one of the, on Chase's soccer team he's part of, plays for Butler United, one of the dads who's a deputy sheriff with Montgomery County and he works in the court systems. And one of the things he'll say to the kids that maybe just scored a goal or had a great stop or whatever it may be, he'll say, great job. Like one time he said to his son, who had a great stop one time, great job, Sammy, but don't let it go to your head. Stay humble. I mean, he's hollering this out on the field. And I thought, wow, isn't that so true? Because, you know, when we start to get a little think we're it, then we can easily go down directions we shouldn't. Stay humble. Serve God as God opens the door, pleasing God. And then the final thing there is, and this is something else that really jumped out at me at the very last sentence of the last verse of our reading, sharing ourselves. I was struck by how Paul and his team imparted something of themselves into that church in Thessalonica. He said, our whole lives, our very lives, we gave to you. Because we care for you. Some of you here this morning, I see a few of you are teachers. Some of you are in positions where you have, in your job or whatever it may be, you have given yourself to people for whatever reason it may be. And you don't realize, you know, as I was sharing about Mr. Kramer, my ag teacher, and my college professors, one of my seminary professors, Dr. Joanne Ford, taught theology, and I was amazed by her humbleness, but her knowledge of everything that she knew in that field. When we impart into people's lives, that is what serving is all about. One of my friends on Facebook shared this thing this week that said, "We're not in church to shine, we're in church to serve." And I really love that. So here's what I want you to see about that. Imparting ourselves into others involves gentleness. Gentleness. God's servants operate in gentleness. Many in Paul's day, and it was interesting, I was doing some little background reading. Many in Paul's day, especially philosophical teachers that would roam and teach throughout the Roman Empire, were often arrogant, brass, and harsh. But Paul uses the adjective gentle to describe how they ministered in Thessalonica. In fact, he basically says this: instead of being a burden to the church, we were gentle like a loving mother caring for her child. And I thought about that, like in the Old Testament, where God says, "I am like a mother that cares for you and loves you." And how important that is. And then imparting ourselves into others includes vulnerability. Now, here's where we get scared. If we're going to lead people, true, good, faithful leaders are willing to be vulnerable. They say young people can spot a phony in a second. And I've often been challenged by that as a pastor. Many of the kids up at the school know I'm a pastor. And I've often wondered about that because I don't always like people to know that because they change. They become different. And I want people to be real with me. If they're hurting, if they're angry, whatever it may be. If they're cussing. I mean, you know, that's one of the first things usually stops is they quit cussing. And I've had people cuss at me, and I, in those moments, I'm sharing in their pain, their frustration at that moment, you know. And it's okay for people to see our doubts, our fears, our struggles, our frustrations. Sometimes when we lead people, we may look foolish. We may get hurt, or most often, we'll be misunderstood. We may miss the mark. We may say the wrong words. We may do the wrong things. But here's the thing we need to remember. We need to all extend grace to one another. One thing that I've discovered and I've had to draw on many times as a pastor in life is Paul's words from 2 Corinthians 12, where he says, "Christ's grace is sufficient for me." Christ's power becomes effective in my weaknesses. When we are weak, then he is strong. God may use our weaknesses in order to manifest Christ's power through us to others. Sometimes faithful service is like a wrestling match. In fact, at the very end, when he said we face struggles because of trouble, that word struggle is where we get our English word agony from. And in the Roman Empire, it was used for wrestlers and wrestling matches. And if anybody's ever wrestled, I've never wrestled except when I was in high school, my sophomore year, we had to do 6 weeks of wrestling as a part of our gym class. And that was, I grew up on my grandpa's farm. I grew up on my brother's farm, baled hay. I mean, did push cattle around, did everything. That was some of the hardest stuff I've ever done. Because you had to endure and you didn't want to let them turn you over and pin you. It was hard. And that's what he says. Sometimes faithfulness and service in life is like wrestling. Yet Paul and his team left a great example for us to follow as we serve the church. We are not perfect, but we need to be open to courage and have the desire to please God by examining our attitudes and our motives and share our gifts and ourselves in gentleness and vulnerability. because that's the way we offer faithful service. Amen. Amen. Well, before we close out and sing our little chorus to end the service today, we're going to give you a few moments to greet one another. And I may give you a little extra time this morning if you want to come up and congratulate Amy and Colin and say something to them. So we'll let you do that then. It's 538, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint with our little chorus this morning. In my life, Lord. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Let's join together there in the bulletin for our benediction. May love fill our hearts as we meet people this week. May the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the leading of the Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen.